You guys ready?
Yeah.
You're so apprehensive.
Can someone remind me how to find show notes in Skype? Okay, got it. Never mind.
Okay. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it, guys. Let's do it. Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, and we have a lot of great people joining us this show. Well, I guess just one more great person than normal. We've got Leander Caney chuckling in the background. We've got Alex Excelsior Heath with us. Hey, Alex.
Hello, Fallon.
We've got Booster Heine with us as well. Buster.
Good afternoon.
Good day to you, sir.
Hello.
And we're joined by a very special guest, OS Ken.
Mac OS Ken,
sorry. Very important thing. Right. Don't go search for OS Ken. That's his competitor.
Yeah, this that's Mac OS Ken. That guy is. Yeah.
That guy is a major jerk. yes, Ken Ray, also known as Ken Ray, popular podcaster. And welcome to the show, Ken. Glad to have you. Glad you're able to join us today.
Thanks a lot for asking me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. And I've listened to your podcast before. But rather than have me describe it, because this is usually where I start flubbing up, would you tell the good folks who are listening what your podcast is all about?
Sure. It's between 10 and 20 minutes of Apple news Monday through Friday on a daily basis. So first thing in the morning, theoretically, unless you're, you know, someplace that it's earlier than where I am. It's just some of the biggest Apple news of the day. I mean, it's not every single thing, but sort of with a slant towards business and certainly towards the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's just it. You know, it's short, sweet, and to the point. Well, sweet and to the point. And short.
Sometimes short.
Long, depending on how long, you know, how much news there is to do that.
It's a lot shorter, Ken, than Mac Break Weekly.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, but yeah, yes.
It's a lot shorter.
Yeah. Well, I think the Roots series is shorter than Mac Break Weekly. not that that's a bad thing. Some people like their shows long.
I love Roots.
The Roots show was great. Hey, Ken, how long was your show when you first started?
Oh, 5 minutes, maybe seven.
Yeah, okay. We know how that goes.
Up, huh? Well, it's a funny thing, right? I mean, the show's Mac OS Ken is 7.5 years old now.
Wow.
So, I mean, think back of what was going on then. Like, I remember one of the biggest stories at the time was Apple has secured Flash for 3 years, you know? And so, okay, so let's do that one. And then we'll talk about the new iPods, and then we're pretty much done. Then there was a switch over to Intel, and now, I mean, just every part of technology, and, you know, that's hyperbole, but every part of technology is either affected by Apple or something that somebody else is doing is affecting Apple. And so, I mean, if you're going to do anything even like keeping you up with the important stuff, I mean, you just have to – it takes much more time in 2013 than it took in 2006.
There's a lot more news, for sure.
Yeah.
I also want to mention, this is Cultcast number 91. Can you guys believe it? We're getting close. We're getting close to 100. We got to do something special for 100. I don't know what we should do yet, but if anyone out there has any suggestions, make sure you tweet them at us. I'm at Erfon. Send me some ideas. That's E-R-F-O-N. Let me know what you guys think we should do. And I should also mention our wonderful, wonderful sponsor, Shutterstock.com. You guys... let me just tell you, Shutterstock.com, if you guys have a creative project that you're working on, film especially, they have a ton of wonderful stock video images, or excuse me, stock video footage. They also have a lot of stock images. So really, for any of your creative projects, Shutterstock is one of those places you need to go first and look for the stuff that you need to make your projects great. So it's going to save you a ton of time as well. Head over to Shutterstock.com. And remember, when you check out, if you're setting up a new account, you can save 25% off your order with the discount code CULTCAST9. I want to thank Shutterstock for sponsoring this episode. Episode 91 of the CULTCAST. I think I'm going to start putting the episode numbers in there. You know why? Because it's actually going to help us remember that we're getting close to, like, significant episodes, because I feel like we always forget.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't you guys agree? I don't think we've done anything major for any, like, numbered Cultcast episode. Not for 50, not for 75,
But 83.
83 was a really special one.
Yeah,
I don't remember what we talked about. I think for a while we were doing like, for the CES series, it was like, you know, 61A, 61B. I don't even remember what we named those. But dagnabbit, we're going to remember episode 100, so we're going to start counting those off. Okay, onwards with the show. iOS 7 is out. For everyone that hasn't downloaded it yet, I know we have a lot of people who got access to the dev previews, but my guess is a majority of the people that listen to this show have never used iOS 7. So we're going to spend some time talking about that first and foremost. I want to rehash the fact that I actually have not been using iOS 7. I downloaded it for the first time on my own personal phone. I've used it a little bit, but for the most part, I'm entering this as a new experience. I didn't really want to use the beta versions because, first of all, I wanted to go into this like everyone else listening to the show goes into this, kind of new. I didn't want to use unfinished product. So I'm going to be coming from it from that perspective, which I think will be interesting because, Ken, you've been using the beta as well, right? Because I know everyone else on the team has.
No, sir.
Oh, you have not?
I'm exactly like you on that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've been keeping up with it, obviously, but I wanted to come into it that same way. The only thing is I'm actually thinking for the next one, I really should go ahead and jump on early because you say most people listening haven't done it. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to bet that a sizable portion of your audience has, because I've got a friend who doesn't have anything to do with Apple News or Mac News or anything like that, mm-hmm. who's been running it since it became available. He pays the $99 mm-hmm. every year, and he goes ahead and downloads the new thing, and then he complains for about a month and a half about how buggy and crappy his phone is. And then, but yeah, he knows much more about it than I do.
Ton of people who are using it. Do you see all that people were selling developer access?
Yeah.
Really?
To get access to the beta. Yeah. I bet most of the audience is running it. And in fact, you and Ken are the only two people in the country who aren't running, you know, a beta of iOS 7.
A lot of people are running it for sure.
Yeah, I know a lot of our audience, at least the vocal people, are running it. But I think there's a lot of people out there who we never hear from who are just like, you know, they don't have access to the beta versions.
And this one was really stable. I mean, I found in the past, you know, like beta versions of like iOS 6, that was a horrible nightmare. That didn't get fixed until, I think even after it was released, it was really buggy. But
was
this
really
one's been really good. It's and it hasn't even messed up that many apps.
I know a lot of apps have updates available now. I've been updating like crazy today.
There's even a new section in the App Store designed for iOS 7 where you can get basically all of the big new apps that have updated their UIs and stuff for iOS 7.
Good to know. So my initial impression after I got everything installed, I was kind of expecting to really dislike it, especially after all the comments from Alex Excelsior Heath about how much he just hated it. And a lot of people that write about it have been on Twitter talking about how much they dislike it. I kind of like it so far. And maybe this is because I'm not experiencing an unfinished product. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Maybe I just like the design direction more than other people. But so far, I'm really enjoying the aesthetic of it. It's been a little weird getting used to the new animations, like when you launch apps and stuff. And, you know, the app switcher and stuff has taken a little getting used to. But I think I'm really going to like this. And echoing some of the things that people told me on Twitter, some of our listeners tweeted at me telling me what they thought, I kind of feel like I have a new phone. And it's really cool that I didn't have to pay anything for this new experience.
Thanks,
it's all it's costing me is time, lots of time. And for those of you trying to install, by the time you hear this, the problems they were having will probably be ironed out. But Ken, did you say that you tried to install it yet, or have you not installed it yet?
No, I've installed it. In fact, you just mentioned the app switcher, and it occurred to me that I hadn't tried that yet. I had no problem.
Downloaded it, and it just boom?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I checked it as soon as I got up today and it wasn't available. And then I checked later and it was available. Mm-hmm. It was weird, though, because it wasn't available through my Mac. Like, you know, being a good little, you know, doobie, I wanted to go ahead and make sure that I had everything backed up. So, mm-hmm. you know, even though I'm using an iCloud backup, I also backed it up to my computer. And then having seen that it was available through my phone, I clicked on my computer and said, OK, get me new software. And iTunes told me, well, you've got the latest software in 6.1.4. And so then I unplugged my phone and downloaded it over the air.
Oh, weird.
No problem whatsoever.
I had to restart my phone before it showed up for me. It was telling me I had the most recent version as well. What were you saying, Leander?
Well, it's going to be pretty remarkable. This is going so well because I'm, you know, this what 700 million iOS devices out there, and iOS 7 is going to run on everything that is newer than a 3GS.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
So I mean, that's a lot of devices, and of course, I what do you think the percentage of people of those devices are going to be upgrading today? 50%, maybe less, 30%.
I would guess it's going to be pretty high, and within the month, I bet you they'll be in the 90 percentile of people running it. Yeah, it's so easy to update.
People are really excited about iOS 7, like just normal people. Like a lot of my friends were texting me last night going, is it coming out at midnight? Should I stay up? Like,
yeah, right.
Did you tell them yes?
Just
oh, yeah, you I did. I actually said,
stay up, yes. Yeah,
it's coming out at 1 a.m.
It's 4 a.m.
But it's only available from 4 to 4:30. Then you have to wait till the next day.
Yeah.
I want to read you guys a few of the tweets. I asked people what they were thinking about, and here's what some of the people said. I was actually kind of surprised by the response that I got from people. Let's see here. Let's start with this one. Chris Spain, I like it. End of tweet. Let's see here. Christopher says, it's quite refreshing. I would like to see some more consistency throughout the software. Let's see here. I'm trying to kind of scroll through these. Oh, Will Christianberry said, I like it, y'all. accent added mine. let's see here. No, this is great audio right here. I realized that the flat interface is so much more appealing than prior. I kind of agree with that, actually. Let's see here. It's like a new phone, brilliant, that comes from Just Wayne. Mike Morelli says, iOS 7 is crazy different. I'm liking it so far. I haven't gotten a single negative reaction yet. That's actually kind of surprising. Oh, here's somebody. I hate it. I really wish that they would never have used this. I want to stick with iOS 6 forever. Oh, Alex E. Heath. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's me.
So there you have it. Ken, what do you think so far?
I have to use reading glasses more and more lately,
And
it bothers me, and this is not going to change that at all. The thin font is going to take some getting used to, but I mean, mostly I'm sort of the same way. It's like, hey, new phone, you know, and luckily I happen to kind of like the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as it's turned out, I mean, with that newness, cause I'm not upgrading this year. I'll be upgrading, you know, with iPhone 6 or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
I do like him. I like the little things. Like I like the animated wallpaper. It's fun. I like the way that the background sort of seems to move behind the.
You know, it's very
icons.
Subtle.
That's kind of fun.
It is. Yeah. It's really cool. I totally forgot the parallaxing that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Parallax.
Now, I've actually already come across an issue. I went to Play with the Camera app to see what that would do. And I like the fact that it lets you shoot square because, let's face it, we're all shooting for Instagram anyway.
Ah,
so I might as well know what that's going to be like beforehand.
That is handy.
So I turned on the flash, and then I hit the HDR option.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, well, I wanted to turn off the flash or I wanted to do something with the flash. But the problem is once you access the flash menu, once it's on, then you're automatically hitting the HDR thing too, unless you turn the phone sideways and you have to kind of move the menu. It was just a little goofy thing, but I was sort of surprised to actually find something. I figured it was going to break other apps, but to find something in iOS that was sort of giving me a little bit of trouble was a tiny bit surprising. I guess I would have known that if I'd been running the beta for months. But...
yeah, exactly. Gosh.
So behind the curve.
Everybody already knows about that bug, Ken. well, let's do this. I thought it would be cool since we are just getting our hands on iOS 7 and now finally a lot of people who are listening are getting their hands on it to kind of give some tips, maybe little quick tips that people could use to get some more use and enjoyment out of their new OS. So Buster, I know you had a couple prepared and maybe I might have a couple too, even though I haven't been using this that long, but why don't you get us started?
Like cool things in iOS 7?
Cool things or specific tips that people could use, maybe things they didn't realize were there.
Well, AirDrop is, I think, going to be a big tool that people probably will forget that they have all the time. Mm-hmm. And you can share like pictures or driving directions with friends. If you guys are heading to the same restaurant, you know, you can just toss somebody the driving directions and AirDrop. So it's really easy and quick rather than, you know, sending it via text or email.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you can do directions with AirDrop?
Yeah, you can do basically anything with a share button. So that's directions, awesome. Locations,
that is nice.
Appointments, pictures, videos, all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. FaceTime audio is going to be available now, right?
So, right, that's another thing that could save you a lot of money. You know, if like you have a kid who just, you know, you don't want to have like a big phone plan, you can also just do FaceTime audio calls with other iOS 7 users so you don't use your minutes.
Yeah, which also means you can call iPads now. You could call computers. And, of course, you could do this before, but it was much more bandwidth intensive because you're using video. And now you can basically just use your iOS devices, I mean, no matter whether you have an iPad or an iPhone, as a phone. This parallax effect is tripping me out. I'm like, I'm just staring at it, moving my phone around. Sorry,
I have like a pretty boring wallpaper set up. If you set up one of the more like blurry wallpapers that Apple has, you just never even see it.
You never see the parallax effect?
Do the one with the dots. The one with the dots reminds me of a button that I had when I was a kid.
Like Android.
That's the dots ones just remind me of Android, what their dynamic wallpaper.
I'm just saying this parallax effect is going to cause endless hours of fun at the next Burning Man. There are going to be people who are just going to be lit by the light of their phones, staring at this thing moving around in their hand. Because if you are one who takes psychedelics, this is going to trip you out. And it's very subtle. I mean, you really don't notice it until you start rotating it around. And you're just like, whoa, man. Do you see my phone, man?
I'm totally in the parallax.
You're like, dude, no. I'm parallaxing, man. Another tip I thought was cool, and this is actually going to be really useful, I think, for pretty much everybody. So when you're on the home screen, now you can just tap and drag down, which brings up Spotlight, which immediately lets you type in the name of anything you're searching for. But what it's really useful for is launching apps. So, you know, you had to like scroll all the way to the left before to access Spotlight. And now you can just tap, like pull down and type the name of the app you're trying to launch. And boom, you can use it as an app launcher. Handy, you know, right?
What, you know what's better for that is, I hate to say it, Siri. Even though everyone hates Siri, it actually does work quite well for launching apps.
I don't think
does
Siri.
It?
Why would you use Siri to search for an app? Wouldn't it take longer?
Yeah.
You just say, no. You just say launch photos, and it actually works. Mm. It's one of the few things.
Siri, launch photos. Launch
audio.
I don't see an app named Launcher. No.
That's about what I expected.
Yeah. That was awesome.
It's hilarious that it understands you, Leander, and not me, by the way.
Well, I
don't see an app called Launcher YOLO.
Here's another one I thought was really handy. This one I found on The Verge. So I guess now Siri can be taught how to pronounce something. So
yeah.
If you say something and she gets it wrong, or he gets it wrong, I guess it depends on what voice you have turned on. You could say, Siri, that's not how that's pronounced. And it will say, I'm sorry, did you say that you want to trounce? And after your fourth attempt at getting it to understand what you're saying, you can actually train it on how to say weird names. So this is one, obviously, for me, that's going to be a big payoff for my friends and family. Although I kind of wonder if any normal people actually use Siri.
They
I'm
do.
Still not convinced that people do.
I think people do. I don't personally, but mostly because I can get to wherever I want quickly. But I think it's probably great for old people, to be honest.
That should be a Apple commercial right there. Siri. They'll just have them talking to it. And at the end it says great for old people.
Wow. I really don't want to admit how much I use it now.
Do you use a lot, Ken? I mean, don't be bashful.
Not a lot, huh? But I mean, more than I used to. I mean, basically, like 6 months ago or so, I decided I really should start like trying to actively use it more, just to find out if it's actually doing any better than it was. And it seems to be for things like, you know, like I was on a road trip recently, and the maps app, you know, divides everything up. It's like, go here for 70 miles and then, you know, take this road for 30 miles and then take this road for 50 miles. And the problem is I lose track of how far I actually am from home. So every now and then I would just say, hey, how far am I from Buffalo, New York? And it would tell me. And so, like, little things like that are kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not trying to do anything terribly intricate with it, but just for, like the little assistant stuff that they're talking about, it's kind of cool as far as that goes. Or it seems to have been lately.
It is useful when you're driving, too, for sure.
Yeah.
That's when I find I actually do use Siri, because I don't text and drive, so, and nor should you, all those people out there. Don't text and drive. I sound like your dad. But seriously, don't. I'm serious. Don't do it. Use Siri in the car. Actually, come to think of it, though, doesn't Siri sometimes work so poorly in the car that it actually makes you pay attention even less to the road? Does anyone else have that problem?
Yeah. And then you're trying to correct it.
Yeah. You're
looking at the text, making sure there's no typos.
That's right. And you just find yourself getting more and more angry as you're driving.
I find it's actually great, though, for, like, you know, playing different kinds of music or sending a quick text.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to
messages. If it's like a simple text, if it's a simple, like, you know, where are you or something, it's easy. But if you're like, no, I didn't say sex to my mother, like,
and then it sends it. Okay, sent the message.
Okay, you message sent.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to have a discussion about the reviews that are in for the iPhone 5S, the iPhone 5C. The embargoes have been lifted, and a lot of reviews have come in now. So let's talk about what people are thinking about those two phones. And actually, well, let's just save it for the end of the show. We'll be back in just a minute, guys. We're going to tell you guys a little bit more about Shutterstock. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Hey guys, it's your very strong, chiseled chin, Cultcast host here, Irfan Elijah. I'd like to tip my hat to Shutterstock.com for supporting this week's show. Shutterstock, the place to go when you're searching for high-quality video clips for your indie film project, your website, your multimedia presentation. And whether it's a video clip, 2D animation, 3D motion graphic, Shutterstock sources clips from all around the world and puts them right at your fingertips. Here's a very special piece of news. Shutterstock has partnered with Facebook to provide advertising customers free access to all of its images through Facebook's ad creation tools. So if you're creating a Facebook ad, you're going to have a plethora of great Shutterstock stock imagery to choose from. Don't believe the words I'm saying? Head on over to Facebook and give it a shot. Or if you're looking for stock videography, head on over to Shutterstock.com. Search through the zillions of video clips available. And when you're ready to check out, you're going to find that Shutterstock has flexible pricing for single clips or groups of clips. And make sure you use the coupon code CULTCAST9. That's going to save you 25% off your new account order. Honestly, guys, love having Shutterstock as a sponsor. They make finding creative assets for your projects easy. And I want to give them a big thanks for sponsoring this week's show. Okay, you guys ready to hop back into it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's just jump right back into it. And we're back! Welcome back to the Cultcast, everyone. Hey, sorry about that weird announcement about an announcement. I was gonna say that we have an announcement, but we don't really have an announcement. I have an announcement about an announcement that we're going to be announcing next show. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for next week's show, because we have an announcement, and not just an announcement about an announcement. And then we're also doing an all new Faves and Raves, because you guys have been asking for that. And it's been a while since we've done a Faves and Raves, which is, of course, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. So stay tuned for the next episode of the Cultcast coming up next week. And also, we want to do a quick Cultcast shout out, Alex,
Scott Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you, Scott.
The Schwartz be with you. Scott sent us a picture.
Oh, he's in Australia.
And why are we giving Scott Schwartz a shout out here, Alex?
Because he is already in line for the new iPhone this weekend.
Gotcha. Because he's living in Australia, so he's technically already in the future.
Right. And
so
he's on
the 19th.
First in line, 29 hours to go. Crikey.
Glad he tossed a crikey in there.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's got some shrimps on the Barbie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Hugh Jackman standing next to him. So good for you, Scott.
Cool. Well, shout out to Scott. May the Schwartz be with him. Let's move on to let me back up a moment. I was going to say, let's move on to this iPhone discussion since the reviews are in. But Alex, I do want to ask you about your piece, and maybe we could have a short discussion about developers. Now that iOS 7 is out, are releasing updates. Most of them are going to be free, and you're probably going to notice, everyone out there, that there's a ton of apps available for update on your iPhone, but some devs are thinking they're not going to give you those updates for free. They're going to be charging you for those updates because, I'm paraphrasing here, it's a great opportunity for them to kind of get some more money for their apps, which may or may not be a bad thing. So I wanted to have a short discussion, and maybe you could kind of tell us what the controversy is about, Alex.
Well, I mean, the average like price of apps is going way down, and it's almost zero. I think it's like 19 cents in the App Store. And everybody's doing freemium, and so it's just people aren't willing to pay for software like they used to be, and especially not paying for it over and over again, unless it's like, oh gosh, I need to unlock this power up on Temple Run because I'm addicted. You know, it's a different kind of way that people think about purchasing apps, and so developers are trying to find ways to make some money, because you make an app and then it's on the store for a couple of years, and how do you make money off that app once it's sold, you know? So that's, I think there's a lot of validity to it. I think a lot of people are going to use it as an opportunity to just kind of exploit users. But if you're putting a lot of work into a redesign and you're adding new features and you're doing more than just like putting a coat of paint on it and charging $2, then I think it's definitely something developers should be doing, because Apple still doesn't offer upgrade pricing.
It sounds like you guys don't really mind repaying for apps. I was a little offended when I heard this news. I was like, kind of chortled a couple times.
I think if a dev puts some love into an app,
I'm with you.
3 years, I'm cool to give them $2.
Me too.
Yeah, if you especially release, if you use it a lot.
If you use the app a lot and it's a worthy.
Yeah, just iOS 7 compatibility, and you try and charge something $2. I think everybody's going to riot.
Yeah, if you polish up a turd and try to get another $2 out of me, not happening.
I mean, that turd is.
Go back to the other thing you said, though. As long as they don't break the old app, I mean, for most people, it's actually probably not going to be an issue, right? I mean, here's the thing. If you're using, you know, your favorite Twitter client, whatever that happens to be, and you just go on using your favorite Twitter client, you're not going to know nor care.
Yeah.
And if somebody else comes to you and says, hey, are you using the new version of that? Then you've got a choice, right? Now, if they just go in and break it, if they go in and break whatever you're using and say, $2, then that's like a forced subscription model, and that would suck.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's what most people are like imagining in their heads, and I just that's not what I think developers are aiming for at all.
Hopefully not.
You look at the update and it says bug unfixes. Wait, does this say unfixes? You're like not really sure when you install it, and then you go to launch the app and it's like, this app is no longer compatible with iOS 7.
Right. This update is going to hose you. But it's free, right?
Okay. It's free. That's all that matters. Is I didn't pay anything for it. Let's talk about the iPhones. People out there are saying lots of stuff about the new phones, the 5C, the 5S, and the reviews are out. I thought maybe we could start with the 5S and read a couple of sound bites. This first one is about the 5S from Jim Dalrymple. I love saying that last name. There's just not very many last names with so many L's and Y's. He's from The Loop. He said about the 5S, speed increases are something we expect with new Apple products, but the 5S goes above and beyond expectations. Scott Stein from CNET, I really like this one, says the touch-enabled home button feels invisible. I love that because it reminds me of Johnny Ive talking about how text should just be part of what you do and not noticeable. It works with a tap, can recognize your finger from many angles, and feels like it has less of a fail rate than finger sensors I've used before. It's impressive tech. It worked on all my fingers and even my toe. Parentheses, I was curious. Good to know. Yeah. Hey, you know what? That is good to know. What if you don't have arms?
Everybody's loving Touch ID. Mossberg said it was a game changer.
Huh?
Everybody's really harping on that.
Yeah, right. It sounds like a really solid piece of tech. You know, like it really works for everybody all the time. And you can tell, they're gonna open it up.
They probably will eventually. And Alex, you wrote a piece on Cult of Mac about how the iPhone 5S is selling out quickly. Care to elaborate?
Well, it hasn't started selling yet, but
you can't get them anywhere.
See, it's sold out already. You heard it here first, folks. Cult Class exclusive.
it's going to sell out quickly because Apple's got supply restraints right now. So
severe supply restraints.
Severe, now, grotesque words grotesque like that were supply being thrown restraints. Around.
Grotesquely. That was my favorite word from yesterday on the show. Can I ask a question, though? Is that hugely different than what we've seen at carrier stores in the past? Because
not
I
really.
Thought my read of it was that, I mean, it's AT&T, Sprint, Verizon who are like, I don't have enough of them. Whereas, I mean, people have
not
up at Apple.
Not really, but the difference, of course, this time is that there's two phones at once on one weekend, and the volume of 5Cs is just supposed to be exponentially higher than the 5S. Like, the 5S is a fraction of the inventory that stores are going to have of the 5C. So Apple's obviously betting that a lot of people are going to want the 5C instead, I guess. I don't know what to make of that.
But they must have shortages of some components. I mean, you know, I think a lot of I will bet the 5S sells more than the 5C, at least initially, because all the people who are going to upgrade are going to want the 5S, whereas the 5C is much more the mass market product, right? Mm-hmm. That's the one that's going to probably sell more over a longer period of time. You know, but for this weekend, I think the 5S is the one that people really want. That's going to be the big seller. But obviously, they're having a shortage of supplies. I mean, it makes no sense for Apple to withhold devices, you know, or not to put it into as many hands as possible.
Right. They obviously don't have enough parts, and that's something – that's just a problem they've had for years. I mean, with every major – you know, with the flagship model comes out, and there's just not enough of them to go around. And I guess they just can't – the parts they need.
Yeah, no, it takes 3 years for them to ramp up a product, right? So, you know, each and every product is 3 years in development. And, you know, getting the lines set up, getting the parts in these enormous numbers you know, it's very difficult.
Let me ask you guys this little conspiracy theory here. The 5S is not available to order online, not to pre-order anyway. You have to go into the store to get them.
Yes. I can see where this is going.
A friend of mine was saying to me that he thinks this is happening because
for marketing.
No.
They're trying to increase the line participation or participation
because
they've been lingering in recent years.
The stupidest idea. Why would a company like Apple that needs to sell as many iPhone 5S's this weekend as possible make a supply constraint on purpose just to get on the news when they're already going to be on the news all over?
Well, not for the supply constraint, but to make people go into the store. So the fact that you can't order them online.
No, I don't think that is it either.
Well, so they pick up an extra cable while they're there?
No, so that when the news comes out the next day, when the New York Times and when Time Magazine and when NBC, ABC, CBS send camera crews out to the local Apple store, there's somebody standing there.
I mean, the lines are huge.
There's no reason for Apple to do that because that's going to happen no matter what.
But it didn't really happen for
the
5.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. There was tons of people in line.
There's already people in line right now. There were people in line for the 5S last week.
Like, if you think Apple has, like, a line supply problem, like, you're crazy. It's still the only company that gets a line, no matter what it is.
I agree. They do get lines. No one's lining up for the new Windows phones.
And you think those need to be even bigger to get the news crews out?
Well, I'm wondering if Apple does.
No, they don't. No, not at all. The news crews are going to be out there no matter what. I'm telling you, Apple wants to make as many iPhone 5S's this weekend as possible and ship as many as possible, too, which is easier with online ordering. I just think because it's all new hardware inside, there's some supply constraints because they're not able to make them quick enough.
So you think the reason that you can't order them online is because they just don't have enough of them?
Yeah, I don't think they have enough yet.
Imagine the scenario. They do pre-orders online, and they literally sell out of all of their initial launch supply. And so launch weekend comes around, and they go, hey, we can't sell any because we don't have any. So there's
but
no.
But couldn't they do what they've done in years past and said, we're going to make a certain amount available for online, and after that, we're going to start putting you two, three, four weeks out?
It would be worse than WWDC tickets because they only have like a million to set aside for pre-orders, and then 2 million for the stores, and they're just like,
exactly. That's the perfect analogy.
You had to drop the SH, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
We went the whole episode. That was my fault. I got you heated. I was playing devil's advocate here, and I got you guys mad.
I think you're likely right that it is about components, but we do agree that there's not going to be anything that sucks about how many people are going to be in front of an Apple store from Apple's point of view come Friday, right?
Right, for sure.
No, it's a great thing for people to be in front of the Apple store, but I think they would rather have enough supply for everybody than sell out like they're going
to
do this.
Yeah, exactly. Apple has no problem getting people to the Apple stores. I mean, if this is, you know, the Microsoft store, yeah, I think they'd love to get on the news to see people lining up outside.
They'd have to have Maroon 5 playing there.
I was going
to
say, you got Bieber tickets. That's how they did it.
Exactly.
With the first one, right, when we hadn't even heard – I hadn't heard of him anyway. Granted, I'm out of his demographic in more ways than one, but the first Microsoft store opened, and there were like 1,500 people there. And I was stunned, and I was like, why? And it turns out it's because they were giving away Justin Bieber tickets. And so then, of course, I had to find out who the heck he was. Kids today with their Microsoft stores. And, anyway.
If you want to know what a Microsoft store is like when they're not giving away Bieber tickets, you should head on over to @BST3R, which is Buster's Twitter feed, and look at the Microsoft store picture he took. I'm pretty sure I saw a tumbleweed. Oh, on the ground somewhere.
I was just walking by with my girlfriend. We were just going through the mall, and I was like, oh, God, that store is empty. I got to take
That's how those stores always are.
Yeah, exactly.
They're always empty.
What was interesting is they have the new Xbox One. You can play it there. It's on display, and you can test it.
Oh, do they really? Wow.
Yeah, like, still nobody's at the store, man.
And that's a product that people are actually really excited about.
Yeah, like they had the same thing with the Kinect. They had the Kinect like 7 months early so you could play around with it too. But again, like not a ton of people came to the store for it either. So it's interesting.
Ooh, boy, tug's collar. All right, hey, let's talk about the 5C. I thought this was a really cool piece of soundbite from David Pogue of the New York Times. He said that the 5C's case is polycarbonate. But calling it plastic isn't quite fair because it's lacquered like a glossy piano. Better yet, its edges are curved for the first time since the iPhones of 2008, which is something I've heard other people say, too, is that they're really excited to have a rounded iPhone again. You guys remember how comfortable the 3GS was in your hand when you held it?
Yeah, I really wish they made the iPhone 5S hardware with the plastic casing. I would probably get it.
I would consider that, too, because that phone really was a dream to hold. Leander, were you going to say something?
Yeah, well, David's reason that he liked the rounded back was so that he, you know, said, quote, he could feel which way it was facing in his pocket.
And I thought that was kind of odd. I intentionally left that off the soundbite.
I remember doing that with the 3GS and 3G, too. Yeah.
Really?
Because why would you want to know that?
Well, no, because it would fit better against your leg. Like, if you put the screen against, like, towards your leg, it would fit better than if with the knobby side creating, like, a bigger bulge on your pocket.
The things I've never considered.
Giggity, giggity, goo.
Okay, but wait a minute. So if it's going to feel better, then you're going to know anyway. I mean, what do you care?
I don't know. I mean, I can see what folks saying.
I hadn't read that. That's so weird.
I want it to feel better.
Feels good in the pants.
It feels great in my pants.
That's our review headline for whenever we have our review.
It feels great in my pants.
It feels great in the pants.
Great in the pants.
I know. Yeah, we missed an opportunity there, I think.
Not quite yet, once we get our hands on one. Jim Dalrymple, again from The Loop, said, this is in regards to the iPhone 5C quality, which I think is something a lot of people are gonna wonder about. There's absolutely no give to this phone at all. It doesn't bend or buckle anywhere in the casing. It feels as solid as the 5S. The iPhone 5C doesn't actually feel like it's plastic. It's strange when you first pick it up. It almost feels like ceramic or similar material. So it seems like, go back to what Johnny Ive said, this is unapologetically plastic. It's plastic, but it's Apple plastic, right? I mean, they did a good job really, dressing it up.
Yeah,
it's primo. It's probably like engineering plastic. For example, I have a really expensive Canon lens that they built in plastic for the first time. This thing's expensive. And everyone was kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, like it's plastic. Like who makes nice items out of plastic? But it's engineering plastic. It's not the same stuff as just your everyday crappy case plastic. Now, I don't know if that's the case for the 5C, but that seems to be what the consensus is. And maybe just the overall consensus for both these phones, everyone seems to be really pleased with them. And I would say arguably even more excitement for these phones, especially in tandem with iOS 7, than there was for the iPhone 5. Would you guys agree with that? Buster, Leander?
I missed the question. Sorry.
I totally tuned out.
Does it seem like there's more excitement for these phones than there were for the iPhone 5?
The C?
And the 5S.
The 5S? Nah.
Well, the iPhone 5 is a new model, right? So, yeah. I mean, everyone was sort of expecting it to be all singing, all dancing. And
I don't think anybody was expecting anything magical from the 5S, though, you know?
That's true. But I think the Touch ID thing is actually very exciting.
No, I think it is cool. I'm excited to try it out.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's gonna be, they're going to sell boatloads of these things.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll go great. I have a hard time saying that it's more excitement for the 5S than the 5, though. That's kind of indistinguishable for me.
Gene Munster at Piper Jaffray actually
was
trolling Twitter.
Gene Munster tweets?
After the announcement. And what he said was that excitement for the 5C seems to have gone up the day after. And it's amazing to me that he goes back and checks this stuff. But apparently, normally what happens is, or what happened last year with the iPhone 5 was the first day, like the geeks were excited, right? And then the second day, the general public heard about it and they were bored to tears. Whereas this year, the geeks were annoyed with the 5S and the 5C, but the general public was like, oh, colors, you say.
Yeah,
interesting.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's, there might actually be more excitement from the consumer side, because, I mean, honestly, if you're not somebody who doesn't follow this, or if you're somebody who doesn't follow this, the colors are fun. And the ads for the 5C are really fun. The ads for the 5C are much more fun than previous iPhone ads have been, because it's not about, so let's say you want to go get sushi. Okay, well, you just lost like 75% of people watching, right?
But my ears perked up.
Let's say you want to go do this, or let's say you want to do that. No, this looks like, I mean, I think it was an article on CNET the other day that it was like, this looks like an ad for an iPod. And the iPod ads were always fun. I mean, this is actually, 5C is going to be a really interesting thing to watch on the consumer side.
I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
I mean, it'll be huge, but then it'll also be interesting to see how it changes marketing and phone marketing. Because, I mean, not just from Apple's side, but now you're not going to have as many, it's 4G, it's super fast, you can do nine things at once. You know?
I mean,
these are really good points, Mike. Ken, yeah, exactly.
He forgets our names too. Don't worry, Ken.
Sorry. No, I think you're totally right. Exactly. It's a mainstream product now. It's thoroughly, thoroughly mainstream. And you're right. I think the reaction from the geeks is, they're always almost completely wrong. Initially, they complain about all the wrong things. And I think, like you say, stuff like color is hugely important.
Yeah. There was also a really cool thing. So I was reading somebody else's review. I wish I had realized that there was the roundup of reviews at Call to Mac. I was reading somebody else's, though, and the one negative one that they kept going back to was Stuart Miles at Pocket Lent. But even his negative reviews kept coming back to, but you got to love it. I mean, that was pretty much it.
Oh, yeah.
Like the 5C, he was like, look, you can't say that this is anything but slapping new paint on it. There's no change here. But it's Apple, and you do that with Apple stuff, and you still just keep coming back to it. So I mean, even the most negative things that I've heard about it are like, they're better than. But what are you going to do? But I mean, that's basically what it comes down to is, I wish it did more, but it does what it does, and it does it the Apple way, and so I'm in. Seems to be the even the most disappointed response to it.
I concur. That's a lot of what I've been reading too. People may have little things that they don't like about it, but overall, they really like both these phones. So now I'm kind of on the fence. I'm like, I was going to wait for the 6, but now I'm kind of thinking maybe I want the iPhone 5C.
You need them both, man.
I know. I need. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. What do you guys think?
Okay.
This has been the best 90-minute, 30-minute cult cast you're going to hear all week long. Hey, Ken, if people want to hear more from you, if they want to listen to your podcast, tell us where they can find you.
MacOSKen.com, or, of course, also on iTunes, MAC, new thing, OS, new thing, KEN, MacOSKen.
Excellent.
And, I'd love for people to join in.
And I want to thank you again for being on the show. Really enjoyed having you on today.
No, really, seriously, thank you very much for asking. It was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. This is the cult cast, kid. Don't you love it when your brain tries to put two thoughts through your mouth at one time? Hey, you know, Leander Buster.
Way, I'm really... sorry, Airfun. Yeah. You can call me Mike. It's okay.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Thank you. Mike OS Ken. All right, this is all the cultcast we have for you guys this week. You know, you can follow the rest of us on Twitter if you'd like. I'm at Airfun. Buster's PST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. And Leander's L. Kahaney. K-A-H-N-E-Y. This has been the cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. Remember, an all-new faves and raves next week, and we'll see you guys next time.
Awesome. See ya.
Good coordination on that. Are you taking off, Buster?
No, I was just joking.
All right, cool. Stick around. Let's do some pillow talk.
Oh, okay.
That should be the name of our new show, Cultcast Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk,
where the whole show is whispered.